Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you enjoyed the weekend. At the start, I want to give you the references I will read in the Old Testament coming up on this broadcast and podcast. This will give you an opportunity to open your Bible and to read along with me if you can. Are you ready for these? Genesis 2:24, Jeremiah 3:12 14, Hosea 3:1 3, Hosea 2:16, and 19 20. Now, maybe I caught you by surprise by mentioning these up front, so let me repeat. Genesis 2:24, Jeremiah 3:12 14, Hosea 3:1 3, Hosea 2:16, and 19 20. All of these are in the Old Testament, and I'll repeat them along the way when I read them. When we left off on Friday, we were talking about the impending divorce between Holy God and His people, the ancient Israelites. And in order for God to divorce them, it means that God was first married to them. Biblically, it is very true that God presents Himself as the husband to His bride, Israel. And last week we covered several Old Testament scriptures, which proves this. If you missed some of last week's broadcasts or podcasts, you can always get caught up on my website, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. God and marriage, that is our current focus here on God Is. Remember that we're in Genesis chapter 2 at verse 24, which reads, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And I am asking the question, why does God put such a strong statement about marriage this early on in the Bible? As we have begun to answer this question, I have said that this verse is definitely about the marriage between Adam and Eve, but it is about more than that. The reason this statement about marriage appears so early in the Bible, the reason the first man and the first woman are wed in just the second chapter of Genesis, is because God is teaching us about the nature of the relationship of us to Him. Specifically, this first marriage points us to the marriage between God and us. This week, we will walk over to the New Testament and talk about the marriage of Christ to the church. But to build our case that this first marriage points us to the marriage between God and us, we have begun with the Jews. And we followed the marital relationship along in the scripture through God's covenant marriage with Israel. We saw how God was Israel's husband and the early devotion the bride of Israel had to her husband. But then adultery in the form of harlotry, prostitution. Israel cheated on God with others, and there was alienation between the Lord and the Israelites such that He proposes divorce and produces a divorce certificate. Jeremiah 3, verse 8. But I am happy to report, as we begin this new week together, God did not go through with the divorce. Listen to the word of God from Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. You can read along with me or jot this down to read later on. This is the Lord speaking, Jeremiah 3, verses 12 through 14. "Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, 'Return, faithless Israel,' declares the Lord. 'I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious,' declares the Lord. 'I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice,' declares the Lord. 'Return, O faithless sons,' declares the Lord." And I will break off the reading here. Notice how God changes direction. He changes course out of His abiding love for His people. Despite how faithless Israel has been, despite their iniquity, their sin of adultery and harlotry, how they did favors to strange gods under every green tree, how they disobeyed God, God says, return. God woos them back to himself. Highlight verse 12 when the Lord says, I am gracious. I do not know if I speak to anyone today who is on the brink of divorce and changed their mind. Your spouse cheated on you with another man or another woman. Adultery. And you hesitatingly visited with the lawyer to prepare for a divorce. You set it in motion. But after some gut-wrenching time in which you really thought about what you wanted, you realized that your love for your spouse was too sincere and too strong. Forgiving adultery is the hardest thing you have ever had to do, but you decided to call your wife or your husband to return to you and be faithful to you. And you offered them, as best you could and how you could, grace, even the beginning of forgiveness. Your marriage was saved. In doing this, you did not overlook the sin of adultery. That sin committed against you had to be forgiven. But forgive it you did by the grace and strength of God, and your marriage was renewed. So too with our God. He saved his marriage with Israel. He did not simply dismiss or forget or push aside the adultery as no big deal. Not at all. God called his people in repentance for their sin, and he intentionally forgave them. God used his grace to renew his marriage to Israel. We're now drawn back to the book of Hosea, which we also looked at last week. Today I want to read from how the Lord instructs Hosea regarding his adulterous wife, Gomer. This is Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Do you have a marker there? A finger, perhaps? Hosea 3, 1 to 3. Then the Lord said to me, go again. Love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress. Even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, even though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. God speaks so boldly and clearly here to us, using his servant Hosea as the man through whom God's message is delivered. Notice how God compares what Gomer has done in her unfaithfulness to what Israel has done. Israel is an adulteress. They turned to other gods, small g. They loved raisin cakes, likely used in pagan religious ceremonies as an aphrodisiac. Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. Israel was unfaithful to God. Yet Hosea bought Gomer back, likely at a slave auction. Consider this time in ancient history. And said to Gomer, stay with me and do not play the harlot anymore. Likewise, God says to Israel, return to me, stay with me, and do not play the harlot anymore. The divorce is called off. There is a renewal of the marriage relationship between God and Israel. And so there is just this one more passage which really captures the restored marriage. Hosea chapter 2, verses 16 and 19 through 20. I'll start the reading at Hosea 2, verse 16, just the first part. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ish. And Ish means husband. So in the English, the Lord declares, Israel will call God husband. This word literally means affection and intimacy. So this is, again, striking language for God to use in relation to his marital relationship to Israel. Continuing the reading of God's words at Hosea 2, verses 19 and 20. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. This speaks to the intensity of God's love for his bride. The word betroth is used three times. Do not miss the importance of this. We're learning something great about our God today. Israel was unfaithful. Israel was an adulterous nation. Israel was into harlotry, prostitution, all while being married to God. They brought nothing to this marriage, but God still kept his vows to them. God kept the promise of marriage. God was faithful. The Lord renewed the marriage relationship. This is just like God, isn't it? Like the ancient Jews, we also have nothing to bring to God. We are notoriously unfaithful to him. Every morning, I thank God for his faithfulness to me while confessing that I have again been unfaithful to him. While I play around in my selfish sinfulness, God stands by me, always loyal, devoted, dedicated, and constant. When I break my vows to him, he keeps his vows to me. Yes, I can relate to the ancient Israelites. Now, let me link all of this back to Genesis 2, verse 24. We have this question before us. Why does God put such a strong statement about marriage this early on in the Bible? The answer is that this first marriage between Adam and Eve points us to the marriage between God and us. And while you and I are not the Israelites, most of us are not even Jewish, we followed along in our Old Testaments to establish that God was married to the Israelites. And tomorrow, we will see that God is married to the Christian. Join me then, for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.